You're listening to the Soul Inspired You podcast, a place where inspiration meets contemplation with your hosts, Beth Hewitt.
And me, Melissa Amos.
Together, we'll unravel the threads of inspiration and explore what moves and stirs our souls. So get ready for conversations that will ignite your spirit and expand your perspectives in the hope that we'll inspire you to live your own soul-inspired life. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Beth. How are we today?
I'm good. You've got your cards again. We've both got flowy hair. I hope we've got my hair down, but we both seem to have quite flowy hair today.
Flowy hair, muted tones. My glasses on today. I've been squirreling away this morning on my laptop, doing all the fun stuff that you don't like to do. I just had them on my desk and I picked them up to move them, and then my hands just instinctively go to shuffling them. And the cards I have on my desk, these are one of my daily, almost daily pulls that they give me a really sharp, sweet, clear message. Don't have to go interpreting them. I put them on my altar, and they are Kyle Gray's Raise Your Vibration cards, and they're really nice. They just have a little saying on it and some really quirky artwork. And when I've just pulled a card, two have come out stuck together.
Ooh.
And they're very nice. So the first one says, "You are worthy."
Aww.
And it's a picture of a jug, a yellow jug on a green starry background, pouring out. It looks like it's quite a full jug because it's
it
not
does
really, is it? And it is pouring out this abundance of water, which kind of looks a bit goddessy. I'm not sure if it's meant to, but it has those kind of curvy curves. So I love that. Now, the message it came with is, "The world is blessed to have you."
Oh.
And it's a world, a globe, with a sun coming up just behind it in a darkened, starry sky. "The world is blessed to have you, and you are worthy." And I think that this is such an important message for all of us, because we often just go through life, right? We just go through the things and we don't know what we're doing most of the time. And it can be quite easy to just think, what's the point? Does anyone care? Especially when you've got kids. And you're like, I must have said three times this morning, "Can anyone hear me? Am I speaking into a void? Hello?" And messages like this just remind you, or remind me anyway, that the fact that we are here on this earth at this time, in any moment, right, is actually a miracle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you think of the odds, just the odds of actually your parents meeting and then falling, hopefully.
And their parents meeting.
And their parents meeting. And theirs. And surviving. And then the whole conception thing. Like the actual likelihood of that, the right sperm with the right egg at the right time under the right stars, signs, and the right conditions and the right nutrition and the right, and then actually childbirth and being born, and then actually just being here. Like the chances of it are actually really slim. And if you've ever held a newborn baby in your arms, you know what a miracle life really is. The world is blessed to have you. You are worthy. The fact that you are here and that you're listening to something like this tells me that you're here for something great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're the only one that can do it.
And I love these cards of affirmation, because it's a reminder of that. Like, we forget how amazing we are, how perfect we are, imperfections, our perfect imperfections. And so, yeah, sometimes we need to be reminded of how worthy we are, how good we are, how amazing we are, how unique we are, what makes us stand out. What makes us a nice person? What makes our quirks make us who we are thing? And that we are all worthy and that we are all deserving of nice things and wonderful things. And people are blessed to have us in our lives.
Lucky them.
Lucky them. Because we don't, sometimes we don't hear that. Appreciation goes a long way, doesn't it? But sometimes we don't. I think as mums, shouting into the void, we don't always, Mother's Day, we've just had Mother's Day, and yes, it's nice to have that day. Day to day, we don't always get that recognition. We're going with the flow. We're doing all the things. We're doing all the hard work. And so sometimes we need to be the one that gives ourselves those words of affirmation to remind ourselves. I have on my phone, I have "You are worthy." It pops up at random times throughout the day or the year, different things. And it's actually quite interesting when they do pop up, like different messages. It's not all about being worthy, but sometimes it'll be like, "Time to go to bed," or "Put your feet up," kind of thing. But it's amazing how those messages pop up at exactly the right time when you want to hear them. So I love that reminder today that we are all worthy, that we're all here as little miracles with work to do, but also with lots of blessings to come our way as well.
Yeah, but then our work can be our blessing, and like I said, I've been this morning squirreling away on my laptop doing the admin things, which it's a means to an end. But when I'm doing it and I'm writing these words and I'm thinking, actually, maybe this word is going to come and inspire somebody. Maybe this word is going to help somebody realize just how worthy they are. And actually, it's not just that they're blessed to have me and my email land in their inbox. It's also I'm blessed to have them reading that. So
Absolutely.
because them being there is allowing me to live my purpose, or not allowing, supporting me in living my purpose and sharing my dreams. And you said about this perfect imperfections and all of our quirks. I think that through our lives, we can be led to believe that our quirks should be toned down. We should just fit in. We'll just be like everyone else, and this is what's normal, and this is what's usual, and this is where we should be. And anything else that doesn't fit in this box is just something that can be hidden or only expressed in certain times. And actually, one of the benefits of having this spiritual journey, of really knowing yourself, of coming into that acceptance, is that allowance of my quirks. And then more than that, it's my quirks that actually are the things that go around touching others, that might inspire others, that might give others, someone else, permission to be themselves and to feel they're worthy. So yes, the world is blessed to have you exactly as you are. But if I want to take that further, the world is blessed to have you exactly as you truly are. The world's even more blessed if you can show up and actually be all of you, with the craziness, with the shyness, with the doubts and with the fears and with the wacky things that we start. Like sometimes at home, I just do the weirdest things, and like my husband just starts. He's just, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, I don't know. I am just expressing this energy that wants to come out
Come
of my
through you.
body.
Is it
So
always in the kitchen?
it's often in the kitchen
Yeah,
that
that's where I do my crazy things,
these
like a
kind
bit
of
of a wiggle, like my leg wants to do a little bit of a dance.
chicken dances and just like weird songs. And I think you and I, we have this same thing that we make up words to songs based on
I
our
don't
mind.
know. I don't know the words to any song ever. Literally just make all of them
Right,
up.
it's just one of those things, and I think it, and my kids see it and they look at me like, "Oh, mummy's gone mad again." But I think it gives them permission that it's okay. They don't just have, when they're at school, they have to be a certain way. It's at home, sometimes it's irritating, but at home, like, this is your place, and how can we bring that out into the real world? And for me, that was probably one of the most freeing things that happened, when you come out and I speak about the things that I'm passionate about and that I love, which I always thought was just weird. Because people had, I remember once years and years ago when I'd first started, I'd just learned Reiki and I was really getting into the mind and the philosophies and all this stuff. And I remember reading this thing in a book about a pencil, right? And that we are
Mm-hmm.
all a pencil. Have you heard this?
Okay, no.
We're all a pencil.
I'm
Oh,
open. I'm
I'm
open
gonna
for
mash
this.
this right. We're all a pencil. And that sometimes we have to be put into a what's the word? A contraction and be sharpened so that we can,
Okay.
and that the more that we're used, that sometimes we can start to feel like we're getting smaller, but actually the more we actually use ourselves, the more that we are expressed. And there was all of this stuff, and it was really deep. And it was, and I was like mind blown. And I remember writing on my face, I am a pencil. And my friends, who in those days, my corporate friends, like my normies,
Yeah.
muggles, as we might call them now, were like, Melissa, what on earth is wrong with you? And I was like, oh. And I think there was something in me then. I quite like this thing that's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to find that pencil quote.
I love that. I love that. I love that you did that. Shall I share the card that I've got?
Yeah, please.
It's welcome the new.
Welcome the new butterfly. Look at that.
So it's from the Butterfly Oracle card deck for life changes. Welcome the new. And as I'm thinking on this, it's almost not just welcoming the new, it's welcoming that which already exists within you that is maybe new to other people, but isn't really new to you. Because if we think about our superpowers and our uniqueness and our weirdness, that's not new to us, but
Right.
expressing it outwardly might be new to other people, or it might be new to us to be able to express it openly without feeling that we're having to dim our light or that we're having to dim it down so that we fit in. So for me, this is about welcoming the new version of you, but maybe the version of you that already existed just hasn't yet been let loose in the world. And that can, when we're on this spiritual journey, like you said, when you start putting things out there that were maybe a little bit different to how some people with different hats on, when you've got a different hat on, might have viewed that. But I think a lot of people who are going through on this spiritual journey, who are going through transformation, who are going through growth, feel this often. And it can often feel, I suppose that's where the growth is a lot of the time, when we allow ourselves to be more of ourselves. But it can also feel quite, I don't know if difficult's the right word, but it can feel like this is so different to how we were before.
Yeah.
And a lot comes up with that, a lot of maybe stuff that needs healing, a lot of beliefs and things start to come up with that. And I know that I talk sometimes about how it took me a while, even though I was always spiritual, even though I was visualizing from 4 years old, even though I had a very spiritual family and I was able to, in my own home, be myself and express and do past life regressions and all these weird things with my mum, which aren't really weird. The outside world would have been viewed as that if I just rocked up at primary school and started saying, this is what we did at home last night. But it took me a while in my 30s to merge what I thought was my corporate everyday Beth with spiritual Beth, all the while not fully realizing that I was always both of those people. And it was just about integrating them. Like I hadn't changed in that integration and me feeling comfortable with who I was. I hadn't really changed as a person. It was just my perception of who I was showing up as, if that makes sense. And I think a lot of people who have worked in the corporate world or some other, whatever it is that you do, and then move into this spiritual section, and either you're wanting to create a business that's more spiritual in nature, or you just want to bring more spirituality, bring more rituals and habits that support your spiritual growth, then it can sometimes feel a little bit like, how do I merge these two together? And sometimes we don't need to merge them. Sometimes we're already merged. It's just the acceptance of that. And it was fascinating to me when I started to welcome in the new of who I was to the world, how people started, the reception that I got from people who I thought would see me as in a different light. One of my very first clients was somebody who I'd worked with in the corporate world, and I would never have thought that they would be interested in anything that spiritual Beth had to say, but yet they've become one of my lifelong clients. And when I said, what was it that attracted you to me? It was like, it just made sense. Like all of the things that I knew you were good at in corporate land, I didn't really understand how you were able to to manifest and do a lot of that stuff. I didn't know how you were able to fill events. And now I understand it was through the scripting and the visualization and yet like your approach to project management, which is different to what other people might do in
Right.
terms of project management. So I think we always are those people. It's just how we change our perception of that and how we allow ourselves to welcome in that version of us and move through that. But it's not an easy path, but it's not a hard path either. We talked about this in another show, didn't we? That kind of pushing a boulder up a hill conversation we had.
I think mostly it's quite scary.
Yeah, because it's new and we really genuinely care what other people think of us, right?
We genuinely do, and that's good because that's helped us survive this long and it's helped us have the relationships or maybe the successes. But also, this story that you just shared with your client, by you showing up and being all of you, by you just going, okay, I'm going to show them how I've managed to fill events and how I can do this. Actually, it's inspiring them into another way of thinking. Now, you could have done this in 100 different other ways, which may be more textbook, but would they have had the experience and the realizations that they've had? And so, by you showing up fully as yourself and going, okay, if you want to work with me, then this is who I am, this is what I offer. This is my beliefs, these are my values, these are my skills, these are my experiences. Then you are always going to invite in the right people all of the time. So many of us go through life feeling. Are you ready to unlock the incredible power of your intuition and live a purpose-driven life? I'm Melissa, and I'm excited to guide you on a profound journey through our free 3-day Telegram group in Awakened the Vortex. Together, we'll dive deep into understanding and trusting your intuition like never before. If you've ever struggled to differentiate between wishful thinking from true intuition or felt held back by doubts and fears, then this free group is tailor-made for you. We'll equip you with practical tools to navigate life's challenges with confidence and with clarity. To join us, visit melissa-amos.com/awaken-the-vortex. Join me as we embark on this transformative journey together and awaken the full potential of your intuition. And like it's hard work, right?
Yeah.
And it's, oh, and people don't understand me and all of this. And I've certainly been there, but when I look back in retrospect, it's the people that don't understand me are the people where I felt like I had to put an act on in order to be there. So of course, they didn't understand me because I
Yeah.
didn't give them a choice to a chance to understand me. I was being this version of me that I thought that would be acceptable.
Yeah.
However, as I've become more of myself, as I've understood myself better, yes, there have been people who have fallen away. People who were like, Melissa, who do you think you are? With the pencil comment. I speak to maybe two of them now.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to be somebody who can't talk about these things for fear of rejection. I can be the full version of me. And just whoever's listening to this podcast, you've come to me and to Beth for a reason. Because where you understand there's a resonance there, and we can only truly find our true tribes, our true soul families, and real relationships that are supporting and loving and that affirm this, you are worthy, if and when we are on that road at least to being fully ourselves.
Yeah. So I would invite everybody to welcome in the new and be a bit quirky. Allow yourself to have the dance in the kitchen and
Dance in the kitchen.
and see what that brings in, what laughter that brings, what kindness
Yeah.
that brings.
I think you've got to feel safe with it. So start there. Start with somewhere that it does feel safe. So for me, I had my people and I behaved. And it wasn't like I was always putting on this mask, but it was certainly there. And then it was actually when I started sitting in circle. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't need to be. Took a little while because I felt I needed to be something else. I don't know. But then I realized, okay, these conversations are quite normal. When I'm teaching in Soul School in the Akashic Records training, one of the things that we do in there is we have these posts and we're like, explain your journey, talk about your journey, talk about your questions, talk about the experience so that this becomes normal. So you start to find the words. So you start to see, okay, look, I can speak about this and nobody is going to go and burn me on a stake because that is a lot of our perception, at least. I'm going to be able to pull a card in soul space, in my inner community. It's okay, we can pull cards, we can ask the cards for our guidance, and we make this normal, we make this usual, and we begin to find the language around it. And every time we do that, it proves to our psyche, oh, okay, look at that, I did that. No one died. This is good. It's great. So it starts to build up that acceptance of self. So find somewhere that you can go and express that, a sharing circle, an online community, a friend, whatever it is, your spirit team, they're always there. And for me, another one of the biggest gifts I think that spiritual practice gave me was this knowing that I am worthy and that I'm here for a reason and that I'm okay and that I'm allowed. And it's that reassurance that allows me to keep on pushing these boundaries of, okay, what is normal? What's my normal? What can I do and be and have and all of that?
What is normal? We've got these ideals, right? But what is that? We're all different, right?
Well,
Because
in my world, it's interesting because last night I was teaching, I'm teaching a group of Holy Fire Reiki teachers at the moment. And we were speaking last night about the role of the three selves that they identify in the Holy Fire system. And they talk about this culturally created self. So the culturally created self is that part of us that feels that it needs to be accepted by who we are. So this is the programmings that we had come in. This is the, oh, look at that. I see colors around people. Oops, that freaked everybody out when I mentioned that, or when I told my auntie that there's going to be a baby, and then it turned out 2 weeks later that she was pregnant, or that whatever. And we're like, oh, I better not. And we start to create this version of ourselves. And it's so deep. It's so deep in our psyche, we don't even know. We think it's us. Oh, I am lazy. I am an accountant. I am whatever it is. It's so deep that we don't know that it's not what we are. If I asked 100 people to describe themselves, they'd probably tell me what they do and some of their attributes. But that's not who they are, not in truth. And the Holy Fire system starts to heal, not let go, not dismiss, not separate, but starts to heal this culturally created self so that it allows more of this other self, which is the authentic self, to come in. So this is the part of us that is driven by our true desires and our true wants and this knowing, I suppose, that when we do have these challenges and these experiences that we need to move through, that this is part of our soul's plan, that we are here to move and grow and evolve. And then, as we begin to work on these aspects, the authentic self needs healing too, because it's been hidden, it's been told, no, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. You can't be here. Don't, you're not allowed. Wait at the door until I come back for you. So it needs some healing too. And then it begins to awaken what they call the dormant self. And this concept is quite fascinating. It's almost like the visual I get when I think of that is this little bit of us that sits like inside, and you know, where is it in my solar plexus? And it keeps peeking out, going, is it safe? Is it safe for me to come out yet? And it's the part of us that's our potential. It's the part of us that gets us to, for example, sign up to these things, right? And be like, yes, I can do this. Then you get there and you're
I'm not
on.
sure. Yeah.
Oh, I can't, better not. I've got 100 other things to do. I'm not gonna do it. It's the part of us that gets us booked on to something or makes us start to write down these ideas or have these dreams. And then it's a little mouse looking for its cheese. It's, oh no, better not come out. But as the culturally created self receives its healing and its understanding of, okay, I develop these traits, these experiences, these habits, these beliefs because they help me be accepted. They stop me being thrown out of the tribe, which is an ancient survival mechanism. So that the authentic self can be like, oh, okay, look at me. Look who I am. Look where I want to go. Look where something is driving me to. And then this dormant self, which I wonder if maybe we installed in ourselves before we were born, we're like, this is who you're becoming.
Yeah.
This is who you're going to be.
Do you think the dormant self is the whispers? Or do you think it's
The
different? Because I feel like, and maybe it might be your impersonation of the dormant self that is making me think this. But because I think whispers is more, is stronger, it's more confident in who it is, whereas the dormant self, as you described it, then or your voice described it, was a little bit more timid of wanting to come forward. But or do you see it as like the same thing, one of the same thing?
I kind of wonder if when it actually comes out, if it's actually really a big lion
Like a
rah, with the courage that it needs. Do I think so? Possibly. I sometimes get guidance, and I think maybe we'll have a one of our episodes about our guidance team. But I think part of what it is that guides us is this future self.
Yeah.
And maybe the dormant self is that part of that future, most aligned self of ours that sits within us. It's, this is where we are now, and I'm waiting for the moment. And maybe its doorway into that is coming into this authentic path of ourselves,
Yeah.
which means the truth of, I know who I am, I know what I want. Or at least I think I do. And then questioning and exploring and being curious about where my values and experiences and wants actually truly lie.
And I think alongside that, we've got this ego that is maybe trying to keep us safe and maybe trapped a little bit, like, not time yet, stay back. It's not safe. It's not safe out here just yet.
Yeah. Our ego is amazing. I think it's part of this culturally created self. Its job is to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And the only thing it knows is what it knows. And what you, it's like, I've got this far, I'm still alive. Let's not do anything to rock the boat.
I think that's it. I think it's making friends with our ego because there's a lot of books and commentary around actually ego is the negative and the soul is the positive. But if we can make friends with the ego, knowing that it's doing a job, it's trying to keep us safe, it's trying to stop us jumping off cliffs and hurting ourselves, that it's that friend that we can choose to listen to or go, okay, I appreciate your advice, ego. However, I'm still going to do this thing.
We can inform it. It's another thing we speak about this in the Holy Fire training as well, that our ego isn't something to be dismissed. It's again, it talks about the healing of the ego, because the ego is what makes us, or part of what this human experience is. That if we didn't have an ego, we'd probably not be in a body, or at least we wouldn't be in adult yet. It helps us in so many ways. However, it's just been misinformed. And I do believe that our job, this generation, and I don't mean that in age, I mean our generation of these awakening beings, is to help us heal those parts of ourselves so that ego can feel safe in exploring and doing these things. I don't know about you, but I found certainly for me that my ego is less activated now than it used to be. It used to just be in control. And now it's there. Of course it's there, and it shows up in all funky ways. Let's not lie about that. But it's just less activated. It's just, ah, listen to me. Because I think I've proven to it time and time and time again, it's all right, we got this.
It's
We're
gonna be
coming.
okay.
Come with me. You've got a job. You've got a really important job to do with me today, ego.
Hold this clipboard.
Yeah. This is going to keep us safe. Can you be in charge of that? And it's, oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that. And it's very clever and cunning. And it often shows up in ways like this admin I was talking about, which I was meant to do 2 days ago and 3 days ago, but actually ended up me buying clothes for a photo shoot, doing something else, which actually I needed to do anyway. But the 25 other things that, because there's a part of me that's when I put this out there, then and it's the stories we tell ourselves.
So make friends with the ego. Another question that I think just dropped in was, as children, is the ego as developed? Or because if you think as children, we just go into, I'm just going to put this in my mouth and I'm just going to throw myself down the stairs on my little buggy. So is the ego there, or is it just that we're not attuned to it? Or is it that as children, we've not been conditioned by society and cultural norms and all of this stuff?
All
And
of
therefore,
that. I think the ego is being informed the whole time. I think it's there. I don't know what the psychotherapy this is, but my feeling is our ego's there. It's being informed in all of these early childhood experiences, 0 to 7. And I can see I have a 7-year-old in my house, bless him. And I can see it. I can see the ego coming into play. And with my 9-year-old, I can see how the ego can often control him in that it's like, oh, I better not. This kind of he's quite quiet, my 9-year-olds. And I can see it's like, oh, everyone's looking at me. And that's an ego thing, isn't it? All because you don't feel safe in there. So yeah, I think that it's there. It's just not in charge. And at some point,
It gets
maybe it
brave.
doesn't have to. Maybe it doesn't ever have to be in charge. Maybe the next generation of children and the generation after that, there will be more of this balance. And God help me, it's hard even knowing that as a parent trying to bring up children in this way. If we do the work with our kids and then they'll start and then they'll start, and then maybe in 2 or 3 generations, it will be something very different.
Maybe it's good that we have an ego.
It's good, yeah. Don't
And
get rid of it. We need it to be human.
yeah, I think it's just how we, like you say, give lots of people, lots of parents are all different spiritual inclination, then maybe the children of the future will approach things slightly different. It's an interesting concept.
You know what it is? Comes back to the card. Maybe what it is, allowing our ego to know. Yeah, I'm worthy. Yes, the world is blessed to have me. Maybe when
So
it really knows that, because there was always that kid at school that you're like, oh, they've got a really big ego. They love themselves so much. And it's, oh, that's the worst thing ever. But the truth is, and I see this in retrospect now, that those ones that walked around, oh, they love themselves so much. And they, who do they think they are? Probably were the most insecure people. Anyway, they had to keep up this appearance. They had to be. It's like the mean girls in the movie. When you actually look beneath it, they're the ones that are really insecure and the ones that don't feel safe being themselves.
And so they're trying to be in control of the situation.
They're trying exactly. So it's like their ego is on high alert all the time. It's I need some this culturally created self needs to be there because that's the only thing that I know how to be. And so maybe if what we're feeding our ego 0 to 7, and then now it's not like we have to wait for the next incarnation to do this. Let's get clear. We have control over that now. We have impact on that now. But maybe it's how we inform it. You know what? You are worthy, and the world is blessed to have you. Truly, not the world is blessed to have you because you can, because you've got the right outfit on. Or because you can speak these certain words, or that you're a whiz with the computers, or whatever it is that we've been prizing, but truly, just because I'm here, the world is blessed. I say to my son, my 9-year-old, like quite often, he's quiet. I'm like, I love hearing your words. Your words are really important. Make sure he even writes really tiny. He talks and he writes small, but your words are important. We want to hear them. So I don't know, maybe that's feeding this ego so it feels safe. And when it feels safe, it doesn't need to act with these destructive behaviors that it's so known for.
Interesting. So I've loved today's episode.
Yeah.
That we're all worthy, we're all good enough, and that we can welcome in that version of us that the world needs to get to know.
I'm a pencil. I am one
You're
eyelid.
a
I like
pencil, I'm a pen.
that. Oh, it's very safer to be a pen, but then once you run out,
Yeah, we could have a whole stationery debate, couldn't we? Pencils and pens and
just I got some new
quills.
stationery for Mother's Day, so
Oh, nice.
I'm very happy.
Restocked.
I'd love a little bit of coloured pens and
Yeah.
some. Well, maybe for another time. But yeah, all of you listening, just know that whatever it is that you are, and even if you feel that you have things that could be improved, that could be better, that could be more accepted, that could be born in you, the world is blessed to have you as you are, and we need you as we are. And just contemplate on that, journal on that. Be reminded of that. Maybe this is your sign from spirit that yes, you are worthy. Hey, listener. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you feel able to embrace those moments in your life that speak to your soul. Connect with us and subscribe to the podcast at soulinspiredyou.com or get in touch with us at soulinspiredyou@mail.com where we can keep those soulful conversations going. Remember to stay inspired and curious so that you can live your best soul-inspired life.